thank everyone for being here this morning on Pentecost Sunday. And I'll let you know, after greeting God's family, we will have the children's sermon. And I want to thank the Bell Choir for being here today and our special guest, Susie Zasloff, if I'm saying it right. Close enough. We just happened to bump into each other yesterday at the dog park while dogs were running around. Memorial Day weekend, we'd be remiss if we did not think about our freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ, but also our freedoms that we have in the United States of America because of our men and women who are willing to make that sacrifice to serve. So I would just like to have everyone that's ever served in the military stand up and be recognized. Thank you. Not only do we bless you here in America, but people around the world for things that you've done for their freedoms also. So God bless you. Remember to sign your red pads and pass it down, and you can read about the food bank items. Flower donation items in the Valley Garden is ready for planting if it'll quit freezing. But I did notice deer tracks in there. Deer is jumping over that fence. So they can really leap. And you can sign up for scripture reading at any time. If this were to happen, it would go through session, but I just wanted you to know, and you can be praying about it. A filming company here in Pittsburgh called this week, person who scouts out locations and saw a church on the internet and possibly wanted to use it for a TV program about a church in Kentucky. They found a church in Millville, because that's where the production company is working out of, but they still want to come by and look at our church and maybe take some pictures of it and possibly use it. So I'm supposed to meet with the man this week, and who knows, maybe it'll be some parts or something too. But I thought if that did happen and our picture got out there on a TV program, that would be really good advertisement for us. So just be thinking about it, praying about it, whether they use us any at all. But like I said, if it did, I think it would be a nice thing for our church. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, number 256. He is here. He is here. Worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we have in Jesus. We also thank you for the freedom we have in our wonderful country. Forgive us when we do not use our freedoms for the betterment of society. Help us to speak the truths of the Bible.
remind us to tell others of Jesus and his love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with other Christians around our community on this special Pentecost Sunday as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's greet one another. We have a children's sermon by Suzanne. We don't have a lot of kids today, but...
Come on, guys. Come on up, and I'll take advantage of you two. You're going to have to work a little today. Okay, I have a question for you. Do you know what the flag stands for? What does it mean?
It stands for the state.
The state, the United States?
Yeah. And what else does it stand for?
Would it be our freedom?
Freedom.
Okay, it shows some of our freedom too. And the one thing that's important is we have freedom in two things. We have freedom through Christ and through God, and we also have freedom because there were men and women who served our country in war and gave us the opportunity to have the freedom we have today. So when you want to pray, and you want to pray openly somewhere like a church like ours, you can do that because they laid their lives down for us in order to make that possible. And if you want to pray in the grocery store, if you want to pray out loud, or you want to tell somebody about Christ and your experience and how great God is, you can do that. And no one is going to do anything to you about that except to say, thank you for sharing that with me. And that's because people went out and they went to war zones. And I don't know if you know how serious that is, but it's a pretty serious thing. They went to war zones and they fought with guns and they fought with their lives. And some of them actually lost their lives to make our lives better. So that's what Memorial Day is about. It's remembering the people who serve us every day, because there's people who are over in different countries that serve our country every day. And there's people in Washington, D.C., that serve our country every day as well. And so those are the people that we want to thank, you know, constantly for the freedoms that we have. So I want you to do two things for me today, okay? One is I want you to take a flag for yourself and take it home, and I want you to fly the flag today. I want you to fly it today and tomorrow to celebrate what that flag means. But earlier we talked to a couple people, and Leonard asked them to stand up because they were people who have served our country. They're the ones that made things possible for us. So if you'd let me hold your flags, which is pretty disrespectful around, I wanted to ask those people who served our country if they would stand one more time, and would you guys go over and give each one of them this special flag so they can put it at their house for this weekend and let us show our thanks to them. So if they would stand one more time, those who've served, these guys want to give you something. Okay? So here's a couple for you guys here. Okay, let me get these untangled. Great plan on my part.
There we go. There's one. You can head out and give it to somebody and come back. Okay? And it's going to be, oh, there you go, behind you. Good job. There you go, there's that one. And then you see all the other people. Oops, my flag is going everywhere. No disrespecting them. Okay, there you go. And then there's somebody else, right? So we're going to say thank you so much to these guys. Will you say thank you when you hand them out?
And here's your flags. Well, why don't you take one for your brother, too, okay? And do you want to take one for your brothers and sister? Okay, here you go. All righty? Okay, and then Jonathan, come on back. Second.
Let's say a prayer before we leave,
okay? Father God, we thank you today for the blessings that you bestow upon each and every one of us. We thank you for the children in our lives. We thank you for the peace that you bring to us. We thank you for allowing us to serve you openly in this amazing country because of people who have gone and served for us, that we are allowed to preach, that we are allowed to say amen, that we are allowed to pray in public, and that that's totally acceptable in our lives. We thank you for the many gifts that you give us, and most of all, Lord, we say thank you, and God bless America. Amen.
Lovely. Our responsive reading, the Holy Spirit, on 644 in your hymnals. 644, the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever.
He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world will not receive, because you need to see him, nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and will be in you.
I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Now I go to the way you send me, and none of you ask me, where are you going?
But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you.
And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Of sin, because they do not believe in me.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more.
Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take care of mine and declare it to you.
This time I asked Elder on the door to come forward with the prayer requests and praise requests.
So before I do the prayer and praise request, we have one late announcement, and this is that the garden participation forms need to be turned in. If you need to get one, they're on the back on the table, and please return those to Kathy Sagi. First, we have a praise request to the whole congregation. Thank you to all for who contributed and attended our annual summertime fellowship. We had a record attendance and lots of good, yummy food. There were many positive comments. We as deacons could not do this without you. So this is from the deacons of the church. This is a prayer request from for Susan Connors, heart test irregular, needs to have more tests done on May 29th. Please be in prayer for a good outcome. And this is for Suzanne. And also Suzanne has a praise request to all our servicemen. God prays for all our freedoms. And we have another praise request to all the military who gave their lives. This is from Mike Love. To the soldiers and families that gave the ultimate sacrifice that we can continue in our way of life. Thank you so very much, and may you find peace. And finally today, we have a special birthday for Hilda Thompson. She's 88 years young today. Wow. Please keep all these persons and situations in your prayers. Thank you.
As we go to prayer, I want us to remember Verna Milbert, her daughter Patty in Miami, was taken off life support at 4 o'clock yesterday. And so let's please be in prayer for that situation. By Rao, I talked to her this week. She's healing up well, good spirit, and is planning on coming to visit in August. I think maybe August 13th, that's ringing a bell. I'll try to make sure I know the exact date. And I talked to Millie Mack, and as you know, she's over in Kane in hospice, and I'm sure she would love visits. Sometimes it's hard for her to hear if you call her on the phone because of the neighbor's TV and being loud, and she's a little hard of hearing, but just to let you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of Pentecost, the day that the church was born in fullness and the gospel was preached in its fullness, and people could hear the name of Jesus and believe and be saved and have the promise of life eternal. It's been a long time since that first outpouring of the Spirit, about 2,000 years. And sometimes our enthusiasm wanes and we wonder when you're coming back. And we wonder about our lives and the difficulties that we have in the day-to-day life, paying bills and illness and relationships and jobs, everything a part of our being human. But we thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit upon us to encourage us, to help us, to give us the strength to go on and to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the freedoms that we have through you to live our lives. And we thank you for the freedoms also that all of our military personnel who have sacrificed so much in so many wars, that we can have freedom of religion, freedom to go about our lives within certain parameters, and freedoms that we're trying to help other people in the world to have. Lord, thank you. Pour out your Spirit in a new way upon us. Awaken the Spirit that is within us, that we can do great things for you. And we pray for one another. We pray for all those who are sick or hurting in any way, that they feel your love, they feel your compassion and mercy, and they believe that you are with them, that you hear their prayers and answer them. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, one we've sang many times, Spirit of Gentleness. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to celebrate everything in our lives, our freedoms, the people in our lives, this beautiful church that we have to worship in, and the Holy Spirit that has come upon us. Empower us to do your will and your works as we give of our time, our energy, our talents, everything that we do. Lord, I ask that you bless this congregation in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Amen.
As Lynn is coming forward to read the scripture, a reminder that the missional team is meeting May 27th at 7 o'clock. So we're excited about that process getting started.
Today's scripture is Acts 2, 1 through 11. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Please bless the reading and the hearing.
Thank you, Lynn. I've been wondering how to pronounce those words. Now I know. Excellent, excellent. Reverend Scott Hippler talks about a day when he was 7 years old. And his grandmother was taking him and his cousin to the grocery store, and on the way his grandmother stopped at another store for a few minutes after she had purchased everything. Young Scott and his cousin stayed in the car. Now, Scott blames what happens next on his grandmother. She had stayed longer in the store than she should have. I'm sure some of you remember years ago when you went to a grocery store and you bought your detergent, or you went to a gas station, there were prizes in the detergent, like plates and cups. How many of you remember that? I think all our glasses in our house came that way. You know, we didn't buy anything. So that was kind of a fun thing to go through the detergent and get to the end and see what was in there, a cup, a saucer, a plate, whatever it might be. And our family had a full set of everything. Always exciting to get that. Well, young Scott and his cousin waiting for grandmother to come out, and you know how mischievous boys can be when they've got time on their hands. Well, they're locked in this car, and some of you will remember when we had ashtrays in cars, not just the little one up in the front, but you had them down in the little wells where you put your arms, and you also had them in the back seat, little silver ashtrays. Now, you could, if you remember, you could pop those ashtrays all the way out so you could take them and empty them and clean them. Well, these two young boys noticed that. They took the ashtrays out and decided they wanted to see what was in the box of detergent. So they took that spot on each side, took the, because Grandmama was very economical and she bought the large economy size and two of them to save money. The boys opened that detergent, poured it down that ashtray opening hole, emptying it, then reached in and got out of one box a cup and another box a saucer. All of a sudden it dawned on them what they had done, and Grandma would know. So these boys became frightened, and you can imagine that they got in all kind of trouble. There was no purpose for their waiting. They were just in the car waiting. The last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension to heaven was that they were to wait in Jerusalem. Now, they didn't totally understand this. They were to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And when that happened, they were to be Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Well, they didn't even know what a Holy Spirit was. Fortunately, they didn't get into mischief like these little boys left in the car alone, because they had an intense purpose for their waiting. Their master told them to wait till the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were to devote themselves during this time to prayer and to fellowship. And because they waited, they were rewarded in a very powerful way, and the church was born in essence on that day. I welcome this day to the celebration of Pentecost, as the choir was wearing red, and Mickey and myself and many of you have red on today in honor of this Pentecost Sunday, one of the most important days in the life of the liturgical church calendar. Jesus has said to his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But how could a small group of uneducated men and women with few resources possibly have an impact on the entire world? There's only one way. God would have to be working through them. That is why it's important for them to first wait in Jerusalem for the undoing of the power of the Holy Spirit. They would only be successful in being his witnesses if the Holy Spirit was with them and in them and working through them. And so in chapter 2 of Acts, we discover that our Lord was talking about the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with power. And this singular act of obedience, waiting and praying, would change their lives forever and would actually change the lives of the world and change your life and my life today. I know this is probably a crazy question, but have any of you ever really felt tired and really felt listless without energy? Anybody? I think about every day. Well, I was reading recently about a manifestation of our lack of energy in America and a rising demand for coffee or for caffeine. The U.S. seems to run on caffeine. 90% of adults consume coffee every day, but not just in coffee. And I'm not talking about just in tea, and I'm not talking about just in the energy drinks like Red Bull or what all those other ones. The demand for energy boost is so strong that caffeine can now be found in all kind of unusual products beyond coffee and energy drinks. You can mail order marshmallows, now this is true, with caffeine. A box of 24 costs about $20. Or if that doesn't appeal to you, you can order beef jerky. Now, who doesn't like beef jerky? Infused with caffeine. They call it perky jerky. Or how about biofuel caffeinated popcorn with caffeine-laced caramel coating? One bag provides as much stimulation as 3 cups of coffee. It appears that we need energy to keep up with the busy demands of our lives. Can you imagine that after Jesus' crucifixion, that his disciples would have their energy levels drop, all that enthusiasm of being with him and the crowds, and all of a sudden, he's not just gone, but he's dead, and he shows himself to them. Their enthusiasm would wane. That would be a normal reaction to the disappointments that they were living through. Then they discovered that he has risen from the dead. This would certainly lift their spirits a lot, but how long would that last? How long can we sustain excitement of anything that happens in our lives? Would it carry them through the persecutions that they would endure now that Jesus was no longer personally with them? They would be facing the might of the Roman Empire as well as the opposition of the religious leaders, the same ones that had condemned and put Jesus to death. How could they possibly find the power to endure, much less be victorious in their lives and in their Christian faith? Obviously, the task was impossible if they were going to attempt to do this under their own power. This is why the day of Pentecost is such an important day in the life of our church. Pentecost is the celebration of that day when the Holy Spirit came upon the first century church and gave them the power that they needed to turn the world as they knew it upside down. And we pray, and we need to pray that the same thing happens and is happening in our church today. You know the story of that important day. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a mighty violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I always wonder if that was a scary moment to hear that and then to feel the Holy Spirit come upon them. Now the root word for spirit is pneuma, which comes from the same root as wind, which means to breathe or to blow, like a blowing wind. In Genesis, God breathed into man and became a living soul. This became the beginning of human life. In Acts, when the Holy Spirit blew or breathed upon the followers of Christ who obediently waited, they received a newness of life and a strength and a power that they had never known before. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. This is after the disciples in the upper room were filled, and then they went out in public. And this is important, because each of the disciples began to speak in tongues. And the word used here is dialekho, which means recognizable languages, not gibberish. They weren't speaking in tongues as some people today speak in tongues, a form of ecstatic utterance for their own benefit. These tongues were real, living languages. It was a fulfillment of Jesus' promise that the disciples would receive power from the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in Judea and Samaria and all the way to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they immediately began his witness to all the world, for they were speaking the languages of various people that were in their audience. Jews from every known part of the world were visiting Jerusalem on this day to celebrate Pentecost. They spoke the languages of their native lands. Can you imagine the shock at hearing ordinary men from Galilee speaking in their native tongue? Someone beside them that had never left Jerusalem, uneducated man, speaking in their language. These Jews from other lands heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, not from the religious elite or learned men in the synagogues, but from ordinary men and women who had no name and no real qualifications. It blew their minds. Of course, they were cynics. Some laughed, mocked, and accused the disciples of just being drunk. Nobody gets that excited and starts speaking in someone else's language. And it was this point that Simon Peter began to address the crowd. The same scared Simon Peter who had denied knowing Jesus Christ 3 times when they were taking Jesus off. And the power of his words, as well as the power of the Pentecost event itself, was so strong that about 3,000 new believers became followers in that one day. This is the same Simon Peter scared. And here he is standing up in front of thousands of people, preaching the gospel, knowing that his master had just been killed not many days before, and they would be looking for his disciples, possibly to do the same thing to them. Yet here he is boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was by the power and by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There was no other explanation for what is going on. Men and women who had been hiding behind closed doors now became unstoppable witnesses for Christ and for the kingdom of God. And it was all because they heeded their master's words to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were obedient. And I want the Holy Spirit to be experienced in His fullness in our church. If any generation ever needed God's power in order to provide a witness to this generation, it is the church today. Our society is slipping quite rapidly from being tolerant of Christians to becoming anti-Christian. Have you noticed a change in our television networks? That's why I was glad when the man called me the other day about a Christian church being set in Kentucky. I haven't talked to him, don't know what it would be like, but just the thought that it might be a Christian program on about churches and ministers and things, because there's not shows like that on television unless we get every once in a while like AD playing, and then that'll be gone. Shows that used to be generally supportive of faith now openly mock our Christian faith and belief. While they exploit sex and violence in ways that would have been unheard of 30, 40 years ago, even 10 years ago, TV characters sleep around and brag about it without hesitation. And many proudly proclaim to be atheists and make fun of Christians. Practically the only example of religious characters on television today that you see are in some TV shows, and they're like self-righteous idiots, can't do anything right. No wonder so many young adults will not even give the church a try. We get so much of our information and our beliefs from TV and movies, and now from the internet, that puts it down. They assume that they know what Christians are like, that we will reject them because of any beliefs that they have or the way that they look, that they will not be accepted even walking into the church doors. So they find us, many of them find us repulsive, and they flee from our presence. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to meet the challenges of a 21st century church and the way our society has changed. We need to spend time waiting and praying that God Himself will intervene in our lives and the lives of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and churches all around America and the world. I love the way that Reverend Rick Kirchhoff puts it. He said, when God sends forth the Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. And church happens. So get ready. Let's pray for God to pour out His Spirit in a new way among us and awaken the Spirit that is already within us. So discouraged folks can cheer up. Dishonest folks fess up. Sour folks sweeten up. Closed folks open up. Gossipers shut up. Conflicted folks make up. Sleeping folks wake up. Lukewarm folks fire up. Dry bones shake up. And pew potatoes stand up. But most of all, Christ the Savior of the world needs to be lifted up. I know it might be easier to get our energy from coffee. I have a couple of cups of coffee before I you don't want to be around me till I've had a couple of cups. A lot of us are like that. It energizes us. So you can get your caffeine-laced marshmallows or your beef jerky or your popcorn. Maybe we should order some of this and pass it out before church, get everybody revved up. Got the machine, we just get some of that other popcorn. But we need to pray that we can make a difference in our church, in our community, and maybe even the world. So let's ask and let's pray, not just today, but every day, that God would breathe new life into each one of us and breathe new life into Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We need it. We need God. We need the fullness of the Spirit. May God bless you on this Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Hymn of Response, Spirit of the Living God, 247.
Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.